In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Many people get confused about the feast that we're celebrating today, St. John of Shanghai, because he reposed on the new calendar on July the 2nd. And the Rokor practice is to transfer his feast to the nearest Saturday. So people often get confused about why are we celebrating it today rather than on the 2nd. There are two reasons why we transfer it. One is because he reposed on the feast of the Apostle Jude, and the bishops didn't want the Apostle Jude's feast to be completely set aside in Rokor forever. And so it's only when St. John's feast falls on a Saturday, or when July the 2nd falls on a Saturday, that the Apostle Jude gets bumped to another day, or altogether, in practically speaking, in most parish situations. But the practical reason why, besides that the feast is transferred to a Saturday, is that along the West Coast and the Western Diocese, doing his commemoration on a Saturday also allowed all the parishes that were within driving distance to close up on that day and for the priest to come so they could have a big celebration. Many hundreds and maybe thousands of people, depending on the year, would be there to celebrate this feast. And this year, I got an email that said that it was essentially canceled. They're having services, but they have such strict restrictions still in California that they weren't able to do the normal service. As a matter of fact, this week I saw that the governor of California had issued an edict in which he forbade singing in religious services. Not forbidding just choirs to sing together in groups, but forbidding singing. I'm quite sure that Our cathedral in San Francisco violated that order this morning, or will be violating that order whenever they do the liturgy today. But what kind of nonsense is that? What times we live in? St. John went through times of great upheaval. He was born in Ukraine under the Tsar. The Bolshevik Revolution happened. His government changed, I think, two or three times while he was there, and then he wound up as a refugee in Serbia, became a monastic and a clergyman there, and then was sent to China as the Archbishop of Shanghai and served there. And then the communists took over there, and he had to go to the Philippines with the refugees of his people. And then he had to come to the United States to lobby our Congress, and got the help of Eleanor Roosevelt, by the way, to allow these Russian refugees to be accepted in the United States, at a time when there was very strict limits on immigration to this country. And then he was sent to Western Europe, where he served for many years. And then he was sent back to the United States to be the Archbishop of San Francisco. And he served in the Russian Church abroad, which, of course, was, after World War II, a very scattered and poor jurisdiction. In Western Europe, I believe it was not uncommon for him to be serving in essentially a garage church, not in a grand cathedral, or anything like what he was able to build in San Francisco. And we in the Russian Church abroad were still not very numerous, and you could look at us and have pity at the situation that we're in, but we have a great treasure. We have St. John. I remember when I was a new convert at that time, for reasons, if you want to hear the stories about why this was, I can tell you sometime, but it's a long story. But at that time, the Russian Church abroad didn't have great relationships with most jurisdictions in this country, except for the Serbs. And I remember having lunch with someone from a nearby parish in Oklahoma City after I was a new convert. And they started pressing the question about whether the Russian Church abroad was legitimate or not. And I was explaining to them the situation that the Russian Church abroad was in its history. And I'm not sure that he was entirely convinced. But then the conversation switched, and he said, "Have you ever heard of Blessed John the Wonder Worker?" And Blessed John The Wonder Worker was the title of one of the early English biographies of St. John. He says, as a matter of fact, I have. Let me tell you about Blessed John the Wonder Worker. And when I explained to him that he was a bishop of the Russian Church abroad, that changed the equation. And after I moved away from Oklahoma City, I went back up there to visit one time and found out that he was now a part of the parish that I was baptized in, so he had later joined Rokor himself. But St. John touched the lives of so many people, and I was a babe in my mother's womb when he reposed, so I obviously didn't get to know him, but I've had the good fortune of having got to meet many people who did know him, and the thing that strikes me is that everybody whose life he touched was changed. And those people have great faith because they didn't just read about the saints in the books, they didn't just read about the saints in the scriptures, they saw a living saint. And what did they see in St. John? They saw Christ. They saw someone who was living out the Christian life in a very full way. And when they saw him, they saw someone who was living a Christ-like life. He was being Christ to the people that were around him, and he was changing people's lives. Now, we can be strengthened by his example when we read about his life, when we talk to people who knew him. But more importantly, we need to emulate him. St. Paul, in one of his epistles, says, follow me even as I follow Christ. And we should follow St. John even as he followed Christ. St. John was an icon of Christ. That's what we're all called to be. And we can, in maybe lesser ways, but in some ways, change the lives of those around us if we'll simply try to be the same kind of a Christian that he was. Amen.